Hey everyone, welcome back to Acromegaly Update. It's Monday, July 6th. Today we've got two segments for you. First, a look at a single but interesting new acromegaly study out of Japan, and then we're zooming out to cover a busy week in rare disease industry news with a big regulatory expansion, a strong trial readout, and several notable deals. Let's start with the research. It was a quiet week for acromegaly-specific papers in the top-tier journals, but there's one study worth spending some time on, out of Osaka University, and published in the journal Pituitary. The researchers were looking at a curious phenomenon. In some people with acromegaly, growth hormone levels actually spike when you give them corticotropin-releasing hormone, or CRH. Now, CRH is normally associated with the stress hormone axis, not with growth hormone at all. So this response is a bit of a biological oddity. The team compared 22 patients who showed this CRH response against 43 who didn't. What they found was pretty striking. The CRH responders had larger tumors and more visual field problems, even though their baseline growth hormone and IGF-1 levels looked similar to the non-responders. When the researchers looked at the tumor tissue itself under the microscope, they found that these CRH-responsive tumors had more of a certain receptor for CRH, and they also expressed markers that are normally associated with a completely different type of pituitary tumor, the ACTH-producing kind. In other words, these growth hormone tumors were behaving a bit like a hybrid, showing some of the biological fingerprints of a corticotroph tumor. Why does this matter? Well, right now, doctors mostly characterize acromegaly tumors by their hormone levels and their size on an MRI. This study suggests that a simple stimulation test with CRH could help identify a biologically distinct and possibly more aggressive subset of these tumors even before surgery. That's potentially useful information for planning treatment and for understanding why some tumors behave differently than others. Now, to be fair, this is a single-center, retrospective study with a relatively small number of patients, so it's a hypothesis-generating finding rather than something that should change clinical practice right away. But it's a nice example of researchers trying to get more precise about the underlying biology of these tumors, rather than treating acromegaly as one uniform disease. That's really all we have on the acromegaly research side this week. It was thin. So let's zoom out from acromegaly to the wider rare disease industry, where there was actually quite a lot going on. The biggest regulatory news came from the FDA, which expanded the approval of Casgevy, the CRISPR-based gene-editing therapy from Vertex Pharmaceuticals. Casgevy is now approved for children as young as 2 years old with sickle cell disease or transfusion-dependent beta thalassemia. That makes it the first gene therapy cleared for those blood disorders at that age. This matters because Casgevy's sales have actually been slower than expected, partly because the treatment process is so involved. It requires collecting a patient's stem cells, editing them, giving chemotherapy to prepare the body, and then reinfusing the edited cells. Opening up the therapy to younger children widens the pool of eligible patients and is a signal that regulators are comfortable extending these one-time gene editing treatments down into pediatric populations. On the clinical trial front, Otsuka Pharmaceutical reported that its drug Voixact hit its goal in a confirmatory phase 3 trial for a rare kidney disease called IgA nephropathy. Voixact works by blocking a protein called APRIL that plays a role in that disease. Compared to placebo, the drug stabilized kidney function over 2 years and even showed signs of improvement. This completes the data package Otsuka needs to convert what was an accelerated approval into a full traditional approval. Analysts think this kind of real outcomes data, rather than just a surrogate marker, will help drive broader use of APRIL targeting drugs in this condition. There was also a flurry of deal-making. Ipsen agreed to buy the Swiss biotech Memo Therapeutics in a deal that could be worth close to $800 million, including upfront and milestone payments. The prize here is a drug called Potravitug, a first-in-class antibody targeting a virus called BK polyomavirus, which has no approved targeted treatment and can cause serious complications, including organ rejection in kidney transplant patients. Phase 2 data showed the drug suppressed the virus and helped resolve kidney damage, and a pivotal trial is expected to start later this year. Notably, This was Ipsen's second biotech acquisition in just 3 days, following an earlier deal for a blood cancer treatment. Separately, United Therapeutics announced it's acquiring a startup called Thymmune Therapeutics for an upfront payment of $140 million, with more tied to future milestones. Thymmune, which actually came out of the lab of Harvard geneticist George Church, is developing a cell therapy for a rare and often fatal condition called congenital athymia, where babies are born without a functioning thymus gland, leaving them without a properly working immune system. The therapy works by converting stem cells into thymic cells that can help the body produce its own working immune cells. This is about as rare and severe as rare disease gets, and it shows there's still real appetite for cell therapy approaches to these ultra-rare single-organ conditions. And finally, on the financing side, Bridge Biopharma secured up to $1 billion in preferred equity from Sixth Street Partners and Healthcare Royalty to help fund its ongoing and upcoming drug launches. It's a large amount of capital, and it came with a notable cost, a 7% preferred dividend, but analysts framed it as still cheaper than raising the same amount of money by selling more shares outright. It's a sign that rare disease companies with drugs reaching the market are increasingly turning to these kinds of structured financing deals rather than diluting existing shareholders. So tying it all together, acromegaly research had a quiet week, but the theme running through that Osaka study, trying to find biologically distinct subgroups within a single rare disease, showed up again and again on the industry side this week, whether that's identifying which kidney disease patients respond best to APRIL blocking drugs, or figuring out exactly which ultra-rare single-gene conditions are worth building an entire company around. Worth watching in the weeks ahead, whether that Casgevy pediatric expansion actually translates into more patients getting treated, and whether Ipsen and United Therapeutics keep up this pace of scooping up small clinical stage rare disease biotechs into the third quarter. That's it for this week's Acromegaly Update. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with more.